The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday's edition, where we're going to be focusing on four races, two from Pontefract, one from Windsor and one from Musselburgh. For live commentary, results and tips on Monday's racing, make sure you tune into Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and James Millman, your studio team. They'll be covering the afternoon racing from Pontefract and on the all-weather at Wolverhampton, while they will have evening racing from Windsor and Musselburgh. But right now on this podcast, joining myself, Michael Wood, to preview Monday's action is John Budden. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Well, I'm a little bit frustrated man, Michael. The Naps, I need a winner. Last week I had some really quite fair chances and they kept finishing second, including Modernism, who was second to Carlisle at 14-1. That should have been a nice winner, but otherwise I'm very well and I mustn't be selfish.
No, I mean, you're doing very well so far in the Naps table. Mm. And before we look into Monday's action, John, let's just take a quick look back at Saturday's racing with the Irish Derby, where Hazand completed a Derby double at the Curragh. It was quite a display from him, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a very impressive display. He's extremely tough and obviously a very well-bred colt, and he did the job most effectively at the Curragh. I'm not sure, Michael, as to whether it was a really classy renewal. Personally, I would have liked to have seen a few more really top-class colts involved, but you can't possibly carp Hazand's performance. And it's great in a way that the Epsom Derby has been repeated at the Curragh. It's always a good thing. Somehow it raises the profile of the Epsom race, the winner of that contest, winning again in Ireland. And he did it well. If we were really going to sort of wonder, there's a question over the second horse, Idaho. I just feel that he's not the most determined of horses in a really tough finish, and Hazand was too tough for him yesterday. Had it been something else, just conceivably a more determined assault from a challenger inside the last furlong, and it would have been very interesting to see how Hazand pulled out the extra gear. But he did it well, and presumably now, Michael, it's got to go to something like the King George.
That would probably be the next port of call for him. We've got to mention Stella Mass as well, an outsider finishing a very impressive third.
Yeah, you say indeed. Outsider is perhaps the word which we should note. I just feel that as far as quality was concerned, apart from the leading two in the market, the Irish Derby was not quite as good as it has been over the past decade or so. So you could say there's a question mark. On the other hand, Hazand has won both derbies in very good style, and you could hardly ask for anything more. You've got to take on the really big sort of contenders at Ascot. Postponed has been mightily effective and impressive this season, and I think that one's going to be very hard to beat by the younger horses. Dartmouth too, a good winner at Royal Ascot. But I should have thought US Army Ranger, if he went to the King George will be the one that Harzand of his generation he has got to beat again. And it's just conceivable, if all is well with US Army Ranger and he gets to the King George in excellent condition, that he is the one that Harzand will have to tackle and beat, quite apart from the two older horses. But good performance by Harzand, and good for racing.
Indeed, John. And there's another topic that I know you're very keen to talk about, and that's the Flat Jockeys Championship with Sylvester D'Souza's 12-day ban. It could make a big impact, couldn't it?
It could make a big impact, yes. Of course, it's it brings us back to the old issue, which I've always been arguing against. Why is the championship cut to the champions meeting at Royal Ascot? You know, I just feel it should go on to the old date to end in November. But having said that, it's not going to do so. Champions Day is where it ends, so let's not worry about that. I still think that Sylvester will win, and I believe the prices suggest that that is the case.
It is indeed, John. D'Souza still odds on 4-7 to win the UK Flat Jockeys Championship. Ryan Moore, 7-4 second, and Andrea Azzini at 10-1.
Yeah, well, take the third one first. I thought Andrea Azzini might be a serious contender for Sylvester at the first part of the season. He was in great form, but as we speak, I think he's only got 27 winners compared to Sylvester's 40. And I think that's going to be quite a gap to make up. And it just seems to have marked time a bit, Andrea Azzini, as far as winner producing is concerned. So I think 10-1 is a perfectly fair price. I rather expected he will be closer to Sylvester at this stage of the season. As for Ryan Moore, well, he's a tremendous jockey, riding at the top of his form, but those big prizes abroad will tempt, particularly towards the autumn, Michael, when really the key championship winner finding is so important. And I think he's much more interested in really picking out the big winners for Ballydoyle, and I would fancy he will not be here desperately striving to chase Sylvester inside the last month. It's obviously a setback for SDS to be suspended for 12 days, but I think he's got the enthusiasm and the drive to make up what he may have missed in that interval when it happens. And as we saw at Royal Ascot, that he was quite happy to go north to minor meetings to pick up winners rather than possibly to ride better horses and not get a winner at Royal Ascot. He is determined to retain the championship, and I think he will.
Excellent stuff. And just another topic to discuss from Saturday's action, the Northumberland Plate, where Antiquarium found an extra gear to overcome Seymour.
Yes, I do feel for Brian Ellison. I wasn't actually watching it on the television. I was just listening to it. And I gather that the one or two close-ups of poor Brian after the race as they went past the post, because it did look as though Seymour had got it home and hosed as he went sort of three or so lengths clear going into the final furlong. But I think it would be too harsh to criticise Ben Curtis for riding what you might call a go-to-the-front premature race. The horse was going so well that he had to let him go and not disappoint him, and he just tied up inside the last half furlong. That plus the fact that the Antiquarian, who's a classy individual, lightly raced and clearly brought to his peak for the Northumberland Plate, produced the most tremendous burst of acceleration close home to get up and win, going away a shade cosily in the end. Good win for James McDonald. He came over from Australia last season, didn't have the best of luck in the big races, went close, the gaps didn't come, and he might well have won a couple. Well, he's won a big one here, and I think I'm right in saying that he was going back to Royal Ascot, after Royal Ascot, he was going back to Australia, rather, and he stayed on. Why did he stay on? Well, we now know he stayed on to ride the Antiquarian and he rode it really well. The gap came and the horse flew. But I think it would be unfair to criticise Ben Curtis for, you know, perhaps going to the front too early on Seymour. Bad luck on Brian Ellison. It's his ambition to win the plate. It so nearly happened again. Personally, I was a bit disappointed. I wanted Nikita to go well in the race, Michael, and he got all sorts of trouble. He was ridden from the rear, which, you know, was not unsurprising, but he kept getting into trouble down the back straight. He came with a chance, Nikita, on the home turn, but then just as he was beginning to make progress, he ran into the back of a wall of horses, so that was it. He finished 10th, which was disappointing personally, but good win by the Antiquarian.
He was indeed. Well, John, let's move on to Monday's action, and we begin with the 3:40 at Pontefract. It's a nice filly's handicap over 6 furlongs with 11 runners to choose from. What would be your best bets here, John?
Well, there are about 3 or 4 fillies that I quite like in this 3:40, Michael. I think Bailey's Mirage is worth a mention. Chris Dwyer trains this filly. Good trainer, Chris Dwyer. He doesn't have a great deal of quality in his stable, but his horses frequently run well. And I thought that Bailey's Mirage went pretty close at Chelmsford last time out. It's perhaps a slight up in class, but Bailey's Mirage, I thought, could run, you know, really quite a decent race. Then we have towards the bottom of the field, Robert Cowell with a horse, Sabre Wing. This one at Catterick last time out, only outing. Robert Cowell in tremendous form at the moment. Dutch Mist has to go close, one feels. Kevin Ryan's team just coming into a little bit of form. I think he's been a bit disappointed with the way his horses have run during the first couple of months of the turf season, but they seem to be coming to hand a bit, and Dutch Mist was a good winner at Pontefract last time out. Has to go close, but I'm going a bit on a wing here, Michael. I'm going to go for an old favourite of mine, a filly trained by Tim Easterby called Gran Canaria, Canario Queen. Now, this filly loves firm ground, so provided it doesn't rain too much in the interval and conditions remain on the far side at Pontefract, I thought Gran Canario Queen could go close. Ran quite well at York last time out in a better race than this. Finished 8th, but was right there till the closing strides or last half furlong. I think the Tim Easterby filly could go close.
So Gran Canaria Queen, the one for John in the 3:40 at Pontefract. Let's move on to our second race at Pontefract that we're going to be looking at on this podcast. And it's the 5:10, where we have a handicap over 1 mile and 4 yards. We have 12 runners here, so plenty to choose from. What's caught your eye here, John?
Real hardy old characters in this contest, Michael. 3 of them, basically. I'm going to stick to a small number here. I thought Sands Chorus had definitely got a squeak in this contest and is drawn relatively well, close to the inside. An encouraging second last time out of Ribbon, best run of the current campaign. So Sands Chorus perhaps could go well. I fancy Kiwi Bay a bit. Bit of an old number now, getting a bit long in the fang. Disappointed at Air last time out, but had run well the time before, and Kiwi Bay is very much a Ponty horse and could go well. But I'm going to go for Hanseatic as my choice here, trained by Mick Easterby, whose horses have been in really good form, and ridden by Cam Hardy. Nice to see Cam Hardy up the north, having spent all his younger days with Richard Hannon down south, and now trying his luck, having lost his claim up north. He's riding pretty well. He's been riding for John Quinn, for example, and getting the odd winners for him, and a number of outside rides as well. He's riding Hanseatic. Hasn't been out for a while, but I don't think that matters with Mick Easterby's horses in good shape. Was a winner at Doncaster from Puma Floor when last seen, and Hanseatic will be the choice.
So Hanseatic, the one that appeals to John in the 5:10 at Pontefract. Well, let's move on to the evening action on Monday. We're going to be looking at the 7:25 at Windsor. A handicap over 1 mile, 2 furlongs and 7 yards. 8 runners to have a look at here. John, what would you be backing?
Well, I've gone for halfway, what you might call four out of eight here. Polar Forest is one of them, trained by Richard Guest. Richard Guest has got his horses going very well this season, but he's not a trainer that I managed to get much luck for. And I think Polar Forest will probably have to run a bit better than he has done recently to score here. Old number, course specialist, Choral Festival, can never be ignored when running over his favourite Windsor. John Bridgewater, of course, trains this Windsor specialist, and William Carson is in the saddle. He gets on really well with Choral Festival. Quite well beaten at Goodwood last time out, but that was behind Jacob Katz. But as I say, Windsor is very much Choral Festival's speciality. The two, I thought, classier horses who could fight out the finish here are Third Rock. Interesting, this. So Michael Stout trains Third Rock and was a perfectly sound second last time out. And the reason why I'm interested in this horse is the booking of the jockey. We've got Josephine Gordon riding this particular horse, and that is quite a feather in her cap that she should be getting mounts for Sir Michael Stout, and a fancied mount here in Third Rock. But Henry Candy's horses, Michael, in my view, are coming back to the top form, and I thought Perceived had to be the choice here. Ran quite well at Salisbury last time out, finishing a third of nine behind White Poppy and staying on well in the final furlong. Candy back in form, so I'm going to go for Perceived.
So Perceived, the one that gets the vote in the 7.25 at Windsor. Let's move on to our final race that we're looking at on this podcast, and it's the 8.10 at Musselburgh. A nice handicap here, over seven furlongs and 30 yards. 11 runners here. What would appeal to you?
Well, this is a very tricky contest, a really typical Musselburgh seven furlong handicap. Basically, when you are running over seven furlongs at Musselburgh, you start near the end of the back straight, very close into the home turn. And so if you're drawn on the outside, you've really got only two options. One is you go like anything for the first furlong, hope you can get a position on the home turn, and then you are in danger of running out of petrol when you come up the home straight. The other is you tuck in behind, and if you tuck in behind, it's jolly difficult to get through the horses going round the home turn and into the straight. So I've drawn perfectly on the inside. It's an old favourite of mine called Ralphie's Boy, and Alan Swinback trains this horse. He's yet to win this year, but ran quite well at Musselburgh when last seen at the course, finishing third in a better race than this. Could go nicely from draw one. I like Honeysuckle Lil a bit. This is a Tim Easterby filly who did very well at this time last year and ran a perfectly good third at Chester. A nice tight course like Musselburgh. A third to Bush Beauty there and could be on the way back, but is drawn eight, which means that Honeysuckle Lil will be faced with a slight problem from the outside. Better drawn is Shammer Heart, and even better drawn than that is Mark Johnston, Sure We Can, who's been very consistent but has been very busy. Joe Fanning rides Sure We Can, of course, and that is drawn too. And if the horse is still, you know, absolutely enthusiastic and ready to go, then Sure We Can certainly has to be considered. But I'm going to go for Shammer Heart here. This is Jeff Harker's runner. Likes firm ground, likes Musselburgh, well drawn at five, and was a very decent third last time out of 12 at Ripon behind the Progressive Lawyer. I think the form is there. Harker likes winning at Musselburgh and Shammer Heart likes running there. So Shammer Heart will be the choice. So
Shammer Heart getting the vote from John in the 8.10 at Musselburgh. Well, as always, John, thank you for your thoughts on Monday's action. And remember that Racing Radio will have live commentary, results and tips for all of Monday's racing. So make sure you tune in from 1:50 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Budden and James Millman.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.